Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to you. Bishop Randy Dean here with you for another episode of No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love. I believe all lesser values devolve easily into BS. I'm done with BSing, folks, and I'm just straight arrow aimed at love. Whatever the cost to my previous held notions, theologically or otherwise, love is the basis of who I am and what I intend to be through the remaining days of my life. So today, I'm going to ask you the question. Jesus said we're the light of the world, and if we are the light of the world, why is everything so dark? Jesus said it. You are the light of the world. And my question is, well, then if we're the light of the world, why is everything so dark? I think I've got a couple of ideas about it. I don't pretend to know it all, but I know something. So we'll get to that, all right? So here at this podcast, we do a couple of things on the regular to get us started and get the slide greased real good so that I can give you some thoughts that are worthy of your time. First of all, I'd like to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. And then I'll lead you in something that I wrote years ago. It's called Love's Creed. All right, to the Lord's Prayer. Most prayed prayer in human history. Very significant and quite short, which is beautiful, I think, for all of us to meditate. All right, here we go. If you know it, come along with me and say these words that are brought to us from the wisdom of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So powerful and so simply needed on every level of our life, if you look at it carefully enough and embrace it on a level that gives you some sense of connectedness with God. All right, Love's Creed. I offer this as a means for you to set up straight and look in the eyes of your purpose for life. So here it is in total. Then I'll go back and I'll ask you to repeat it after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right? Now, let me give it to you in short bursts and just repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. If you'd like a copy of that, it'd be my pleasure to send you one. My email is randydeanministries@gmail.com, and randydeanministries, all one word, all lowercase, send me your request or questions or comments that you have on the broadcast. I'd love to hear from you. RandyDeanMinistries@gmail.com, and it'd be a joy to connect with you. All right. For today's subject, I told you I was asking you a question that Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, "You are the light of the world." What a sweeping statement, and trusting in all of us, all the disciples, from the ones he was looking at in his time, all the way forward 2,000 years to you and to me. If we follow Jesus, he said, "You're the light of the world." And I know it. He's the light of the world as the primary light, as the ignition for our light. But stay with me, please, when he said, "You are the light of the world." Now, I love how Jesus makes these broad, powerful, basic statements, and then seems to walk along and expect us to work it out. And that's exactly what he's doing. He expects us to work this out. We've only been at it for a couple thousand years working it out. But in order to work it out, we've got to ask some hard questions, don't we? And for me, my question is, if we're the light of the world, yes, with Jesus as the basic ignition, if we're the light of the world, why is everything so dark? You know, I back in 2010, 2011, I wrote a book called Radiance. And the question I just offered you is the subtitle. If we're the light of the world, why is everything so dark? Now, I've grown quite a bit since 2010. And I do recommend my book because it's my book. I don't know what else to say. But I'm not selling books here, and I've changed quite a bit in terms of who I am as a pastor, as a human being, and I've got more specific ideas other than what I proffered in that book. But the subtitle stays with me. If we're the light of the world, why is everything so dark? So, having asked that in a book form, and now I'm asking you on this podcast, if we're the light of the world, Jesus said so, remember? Why is everything so dark? And so my point is to draw us, especially faith folks, away from a despondent notion of viewing the world as this dark, ever-failing sin pit. Did you catch that? My point is to call us, especially as faith people, away from a despondent, constant drumbeat, a notion of looking at the world as if it's this dark, failing sin pit. And I find far too many of us have concluded that. Oh, we live in such dark times. Oh, there's so much darkness in our world. The dark forces of evil have seemingly owned everything around us. I hear those commiserations a lot, and but I still ask the question, so if we're the light of the world, why is everything so dark? Now, and I hope you hear me. I'm not foolish or simplistic. I'm aware of the darkness around me. I'm too old to be silly or shallow about this. But one more time, I hope you know where I'm going. If we are the light of the world, and by the way, did I mention Jesus said so? Then darkness can only exist because we, the light of the world, turned our potential light into something else. A full stop there. Now, I am headed for our light is love. Love is the beam. Love is the true north. Love is the sun that burns within the heart of God and the mouth and the voice of Christ. Love is the beginning point and the concluding point. And that is the ignition of light. And so if we're the light of the world, then darkness exists because we've done something with our light other than shining it. In particular, as my point for this podcast, in particular, our love. We have often turned our potential light into little tiny pin lights, like little laser lights that we play with our pets with. I'm sure you've seen somebody do this, or a video of somebody playing with a laser light, teasing their cat or their dog or puppy. And here's this little light on the floor or on the wall, and the poor little pet goes crazy trying to chase this ever elusive light. Sometimes I wonder if we, the bearers of the light of this world, treat our potential light like that tiny pen light or laser, and it becomes entertainment for us rather than a sweet aura of illumination and benefit for all of our fellow earth travelers who are seeking relief and trying to find their way in this dark world, as we like to say. See, I just think all too often, bear with me, we aim our little flashlights in the faces of people we consider darklings. We like to just bear down on them with our little flashlight and show them how we see their darkness and we see their evil, rather than giving illumination, rather than showing them a path that they haven't been able to see because everything is so dark around them. And then along comes people of faith who've been told, you are the light of the world. And yeah, we're the light of the world. We got it digested down to a little pocket flashlight that we like to toy with and shine lights in people's faces and say, look at you, you're dark. Light is for the benefit of travelers. Light is for the benefit of those who are traversing dark pathways. Light isn't for annoying people. Have you ever had a kid walk up to you and suddenly beam a flashlight right in your eyes and then you stumble around, you can't see? Well, it's been that way for faith folks for far too long. We play these culture war games and we've got our little flashlights and we're sneaking up on people, figuratively speaking, with our little flashlight, and we suddenly beam it in somebody's face because we don't like their lifestyle, their choices, their philosophies, their educational bearings. We jam that flashlight in their face and say, aha, I caught you, you darkling, you. But Jesus is offering light for a world that is stumbling about in shadows and fear and confusion. People with light in a dark forest who are searching for a lost survivor of a plane crash, or just a hiker who has gotten off the path and they can't find their path again and they didn't come prepared with their own lights. You see a rescue team coming because their lights are shining in the woods. Their lights are shining out there and calling your name. And if you're lost, then you see those rescue people as your hope has been reignited. And you realize, here comes love. These people love me enough to risk all of their time and life and money and their own security to come with lights to beam into the darkness so that I can find my way out. Jesus said, we are the light of the world. The light, a light that shines, not for annoyance, but for healing and paths to walk. A light that shines, not for exposure of the bad people in the dark, but to disperse the dark so that we first, who consider ourselves the light of the world, so that we first can walk a sure path, and that sure path is love, and that in walking a sure path, we're demonstrating that there's a better way of living than in the pains and confusion and dysfunctions, the addictions, the codependencies, the competitiveness. I mean, the list is on and on, right? When my light shines, my light is not shining to expose, but to illuminate. I've often told people, listen, we are not prosecutors. If you're a faith person, tune into this for just a moment, please. We're not prosecutors. We're not here to prosecute a guilty world. And to continue with my question of if we're the light of the world, why is everything so dark? If we're the light of the world, I'm not here to shine a light on how people have contributed to the darkness. Look at you. You made it darker. The dark got darker. How about we look at ourselves and the darkness and ask of ourselves, why is everything so dark if I'm the light of the world? It is a tough road to walk when you put it in that context, which is what I suspect causes us not to put it in that context, because like children, we like to play with our pen lights. We like to play with the laser light to tease the pets. We like to have a little secret code with our lights that we flash with Morse code. But folks, if we're the light of the world and there are people stumbling in the woods and stumbling in their spiritual paths and they just cannot figure out where's the North Star. How do I go north if I need to go north? How do I spin myself around so that I can head to the direction that I came out here in the woods to enjoy? Well, that would be the responsibility of those who are the light of those woods, the light of those dark places, the light that is not there to shame the lost somebody, but the light that is there to expose the path and not the person. I am not a prosecutor. I'm a priest. We're not prosecutors. We're not prosecuting sinners. It's not on our agenda to see to it that we can define for sinners how big their sin is. And then by defining how sinful their sin is, we've suddenly arrived at a lighted path of attraction? No. If I'm sick and I go to the doctor, let's assume I broke my arm. All right, I go to the doctor and I tell the doctor, "Gosh, I can't move my arm right." And the doctor runs a test, an X-ray, and comes back and says, "Oh my, you broke your arm." Well, my first response is to think back on the accident that caused the broken bone, and then I'm hoping that the doctor has an answer to my accident. What I would not expect is the doctor to look sternly at me, show me the X-ray, tapping their finger on the computer screen or an X-ray page or whatever they may have to prove that I have a broken bone. The last thing I would expect is for that doctor to say, "Look here, you fool. You broke your arm. What were you thinking when you broke your arm?" And grab my arm and start twisting it around to get that bone set. No, if that's the doctor I've found, I need to go find another doctor. I need a second opinion right now. But this is the temptation, I think, of those of us in the faith world who consider ourselves bearers of light. We've got the X-ray. Here's your injury. And what were you thinking, you fool? If that's our purpose, then we're prosecutors. We're not certainly not physicians. We're pain-induced folks. We're just inducing more pain on top of the pain. And so if we're the light of the world, why is everything so dark? Well, because the light of the world has misappropriated those X-rays. The light of the world has misunderstood its purpose as being prosecutors to expose the sin rather than priests who light up the cathedral, who light up the temple, who light up the sanctuary. Priests who make sure that the light at the top of wherever they happen to be looks like rescue lights coming into the woods at night. The light that says, "Hey, we're looking for you. I'm calling your name. And I'm not calling your name to prosecute you. I don't have a I don't have a warrant for your arrest. I have a warrant for your love, to love you, to give you relief from the terrifying notion that your footsteps are unsure in the pitch black. My goal is not to blame you for getting lost. My goal is to give you a North Star. My goal is to give you illumination. We're prosecutors. Well, our goal is an arrest. Our goal is to blame. Our goal is to shame. Our goal is to see to it that you feel enough pressure to suddenly cry out for whatever relief that we think we're offering. But if my goal is a priesthood and the light of the world, well, then my goal becomes radiance, an attractive force, a force of the immaterial and the beautiful spiritual heavens, a force of rescue, a force of support, a force for I'm here. I'm not here to blame or shame. I'm alive to love. If we go back to Love's Creed, making sure that your dark journey has an answer. Your dark journey is not the end of your journey, but in your dark journey, you've hopefully stumbled onto a bearer of light that saw your plight. I'm convinced that at the end of all things, whatever that may be for you and your mind, but and I've got ideas of quote unquote the end of all things is an explosion of light. The end of all things is an explosion of love. The end of all things, the final assessment of all things in our world. There is love. And here's the love that I am looking for. The pervasive and ubiquitous inclusivity of a divine entrepreneurial love. Let me say that again. The pervasive, which means to say it soaks into the fiber and the fabric of eternity and the world around us. Pervasive and ubiquitous. That takes pervasive, I think, a step further. Ubiquitous is all present everywhere you go. Every time you turn around, here it is, ubiquitous. It's like saying in an airport, the metal detectors are ubiquitous. They're everywhere. Every time you turn around, the pervasive and ubiquitous inclusivity. Inclusivity, which is to say all humanity. No one's eliminated. Nobody's excluded. Nobody deserves the darkness. Nobody deserves to be hated. The pervasive and ubiquitous inclusivity of a divine entrepreneurial. Entrepreneurial means a creative business sense, a creative purpose, somebody who decides that I'm gonna create a factory to build the greatest widget that's ever been built that will turn every screw and tighten every bolt, to have this entrepreneurial idea, art formed business ideals that are outside of all the normal stations of how we do business. An entrepreneurial business person is somebody with a bit of a poet, warrior, artsy, somebody who wants to see answers to troubles. A pervasive and ubiquitous inclusivity of a divine entrepreneurial love. So if the end of all things is love, that's it. All right. I want you to take a deep breath now with me. On the count of three, I want you to inhale all the love you can grab in your lungs. We breathe 3,000 gallons of oxygen every day, and it's free for your taking. I want you to grab a few gallons of that right now for the clearing of your mind and your lungs. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. Inhale, love, and exhale, gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Entrepreneurial divine being, thank you for love and for shining a light in dark places. Mother Teresa said once, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light. Yeah, see that? New light in the hearts of others. Because you see, the greatest mistake we often make is thinking we still have time. But I urge you, be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Something I've well known for saying is get out there and do something beautiful. Shine your light, not in their faces, but upon their path for their feet to fall. If we're the light of the world, let's see to it that the world is illuminated with the inclusivity of a divine entrepreneurial love. To be doing something beautiful means I've seen all the ugly I can stand. Ugly is getting done to death. Now it's time for the sign of all human craving. The sign is love. Where is there love? How can I find true love for all my being, which is the true light? Now, as I leave here today, I don't want to forget to challenge you to join me in learning how to say the three most charmed, magical, holy words in the human language. Holy and beautiful words. I love you. Yeah. Those words are light. They create the beautiful friction, like two sticks rubbing together in the woods. I'm trying to get those sticks hot enough to light the leaves, the dry twigs below. Holy and magical, those words are. When I first discovered those words as a teenage boy from my dad, it lit something in me that I've spent the rest of my life exploring. Where was that earlier? I can't explain, but I know this. That started me down a path that I'm still on. And now here I'm asking you to join me in finding people whose their face shows the darkness of despair, the darkness of confusion, the darkness of simply not knowing why am I here. And find a way. It's weird, so make it weird. And yeah, it's awkward. It's awkward because we don't do this enough. I want to normalize saying, I love you. I'm inviting you. Come join me. Let's normalize those three words. I love you. Normalize it with eye contact. And again, it's unsettling. But we're unsettled because when the lights come on, when you've been in the dark, it makes your eyes hurt. You wonder, wait, what's going on? When you hear, I love you, it's likely to be a stunning moment. But I'm convinced it's worth stunning people. Not with shame, with the light in their face, but with an invitation. An invitation of the beauty of love. An invitation for the beauty of illumination. All right, I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and like Mother Teresa said, go into the world today. Go into the world today and love the people and let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Thanks for joining me. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.